I love the story in Luke 19. It starts out there in Jericho, and Jesus is passing through Jericho, and we look at Zacchaeus, and I remember when I was a little boy, had bribery went on in my home church. There was a man in the church, and he would pay me a quarter if I would sing Zacchaeus. Now, if you can give me, you give me $20, and I'll sing it tonight. Inflation, you know. He gave me a quarter every time that I would sing that, and he just loved that song, Zacchaeus. And I love the story of Zacchaeus. And Jesus is passing through Jericho, and we know that the Lord is making his way to go to Jerusalem. As those young ladies were singing, the group was singing about, right in the middle of it all, there's Jesus. And on the outside of the city walls of Jerusalem, our Savior suffered and bled and died on a hill called Golgotha. And he died for you and he died for me. And I thank God for that. He was making his way towards Jerusalem, and he passed through Jericho, and we have the story of Zacchaeus, and I would love to preach on that, but the Lord has taken us on down in this chapter. But I do want to include verse number 10, which is a very true statement that the Lord said in Zacchaeus's hearing, and I believe it was at his house, and I believe it's connected to verse number 9, and I'm just going to read verse 9 and 10 because I like them, amen. The Bible says, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Past tense. That is the Lord's business. Would you agree with me tonight that the souls of men is the Lord's business? And as I'm looking here tonight, I want to begin reading in verse number 11, and I'll read down through verse number 13, and we'll give a little bit of the context of these verses and the verses following as we bring the message. I'm going to preach real simple tonight, and I'm just going to give you something that I think we need to be doing. Let's stand together, if you would, if you're able. You've been seated for a good while, and I appreciate you standing, if you're able, and we'll look together in reverence and respect for the reading of God's Word in verse number 11 of Luke's Gospel, chapter number 19. The Bible says, and as they heard these things, he added, and spake a parable. Now stop right there for just a moment and say this. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And when Jesus spoke a parable, he did that for a purpose. He was the greatest illustrator, the greatest storyteller that ever walked upon the face of the earth. And Jesus is using a parable here, this earthly story with a heavenly meaning, to help us tonight to understand what he's getting ready to say and those that were hearing him at this time. The Bible says, and in verse number 11, that he added and spake a parable because he was nigh to Jerusalem and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And as I'm thinking of that, the disciples thought that Jesus was going to set up the earthly kingdom. By the way, the kingdom's coming. Well, we're closer than we've ever been before. And I want to tell you, I'm excited about what God's doing. Even in our upside down crazy world, God is still sovereign. And I know that. And I believe the Bible is being fulfilled. And we can rejoice in that tonight. As we're looking here, as we look in the Bible, we know that the disciples and many people thought that Jesus was going to set up the earthly kingdom at this time. In verse number 12, the Bible says, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. I like that part, don't you? He's coming again. Let me just say that to you and I. We can rejoice tonight. Jesus is coming again, and I hope that you're ready for to meet him. The Bible says in verse number 13, and he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds, and he said unto them, occupy till I come. As we look at this tonight, going to look at the story tonight, and I want to preach on the simple thought, ain't no business like the Lord's business. Amen. You may be seated tonight for just a few minutes as we think about this parable. We know that he gave 10 pounds to 10 people according to the Bible here in this parable. And as we're thinking about that, Jesus is talking about a man, who a nobleman, who gave responsibility to those that he left behind, and he left and returned later. And let me say this, Jesus is coming again. And I want to encourage you to look and read the entirety of this parable as you go home this evening. It would help us all to understand that we're going to be rewarded accordingly. I notice that the nobleman was the one that gave the pounds to the people. He gave each one the opportunity to do a great work for the Lord. And I want to say to you tonight that each of us have an opportunity, and while we're working for Jesus, I hope you are. I hope that you're serious about that, and I believe that we should be in the hour in which we live. If you'll notice in the parable, it mentions three outcomes of three individuals in this parable. And I'm not going to go into detail about that, but they were rewarded accordingly, and they were rewarded differently. I believe when we get to heaven, I believe there'll be people rewarded greatly for their service. And the parable of sowing and reaping would apply here too as well. I believe the things that we do for God, we need to be doing, and we need to be busy in the hour in which we live. But I'm interested tonight in verse number 13. He called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, and I'm interested in this phrase, occupy till I come. Now, I want to say to you tonight, I believe Jesus is coming, and I believe that he is, and I'm going to use that little phrase, and I hope and pray that it'll be a help to you tonight. That word occupies a very interesting word in the Greek language, and it means to carry on the business. Can I say to you, the Lord's business is serious business. Would you agree tonight? The Lord's business is submitted business. We need to submit our will to his will if we're going to do the Lord's business. I'm going to be honest with you. If you had told me as I was a young man that I would be called to preach, I would have probably laughed at you and said that's the most unlikely, craziest thing that could ever be, because I was introverted, I was shy and backward, and now I can't stop talking, amen? I can't quit once I get preaching gear. I can't stop preaching, it seems like. My daughter reminds me on occasion, she said, Dad, do you remember when you first started preaching? And I said, oh yes, and she said, oh yes, I do too. And she said, Dad, you would preach 15 minutes and it would just be cut off just like a spigot, and now we can't get you to stop with 45 minutes. Amen. Well, I'm going to try to be conscious tonight of that as well, but I want to tell you this evening, I'm glad that I serve a living Savior, and there's something in my heart that's pumping in my soul, and it is the Holy Spirit of God. And boy, I want to tell you, I got some good news to share tonight with you from Glory Land. I want to tell you tonight, I believe the Lord's business is serious. I believe that it needs to be done by submitted people. I believe the Lord's business is sacred business. Would you agree? Hey, I still believe the things of the church is holy, and they're separate, and they're segregated from the world and separated from the world. The Lord's business is a serving business. And I want to say it again, there ain't no business, and I know that's not good English. Y'all have to forgive me. I'm from Wilkes County, North Carolina. Hey, man. And I want to tell you, we passed by this church multiple times, many times over 20 years that we lived up on the Brushy Mountain in Wilkes County, and we would come to Taylorsville, North Carolina multiple times because we like coming over here better than going to North Wilkesboro when we lived up on the backside of the mountain. And my wife knows this area very well too. When we turned, she said, I know exactly where we are, amen. I never knew that the name of this road was what it is till this evening. I'm amazed at how God puts things together. But I'm glad tonight that even that, I can say tonight, there ain't no business like the Lord's business. And I want to say to you, and I believe your pastor will concur, and Brother Tony and Brother Craig and every other God-called man, it'd be a step down for us to be the President of the United States. Amen. God has called us to preach the gospel. And let me say this to you and I, who are saved by the grace of God. You are not segregated from the Lord's business as well. This church has a business to do. You as an individual. You are in God's business. He wants you to be a part, a business partner with Him. And let me just say it this way. There ain't no business like the Lord's business. As I look at this phrase the Lord uses, occupy till I come, it means to carry on the business of Jesus. As I was thinking about that, you say, well, preacher, how can we, in the day and hour in which we live, carry on the business of the Lord? First of all, may I suggest maybe four or five things, and then tonight I'm going to give an invitation, turn it back over to the pastor, and I'm just going to get out of the way. But first of all, tonight, if we're going to do the Lord's business, and there ain't no business like the Lord's business, first of all, we got to be people of prayer. If you're going to do God's business, I want to say it this way. We need to be people of prayer. In the hour in which we live, how many of you got a special prayer request on your heart? How many of you tonight have somebody that's lost and undone and on their way to hell? They need to be saved by the grace of God. How many of you got a burden for America and you want to see America turn back to God? You want to see things happen in our country? I want to tell you, it'll never happen until people once again begin to pray. The Bible says, and Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5 and verse number 17, to pray without ceasing. I have a dear friend of mine in India, and he is a national pastor there. His name is Brother Obed Missal, and the Lord has allowed me graciously many opportunities several different times. I think 7 or 8 times that I've visited India and been with Brother Obed, and he has a saying which is very good. He says it this way, when men work, men work. Well, that's a deep thought, isn't it? When men work, that's about all you're going to get. Men working. But he said, but when men pray, God works. And boy, there's some wisdom in that. And I want to tell you tonight, that's what we need more than anything. I don't have revival canned up. I don't have a formula for it. I don't have the format for it. I don't have the addition for it. I don't bring it with me. I don't have a suitcase filled with it. But I want to tell you tonight, if we want real old-fashioned Holy Ghost God-sent revival, and let me say this, I marvel as I look across this congregation tonight, because they're not grandpas like me and Craig are, but they're young people, younger people. Thank God for that. Can I tell you, us older people, how many of you remember old time Holy Ghost God sent revival? I remember as a boy, back when the dinosaurs walked, amen, going to church house. Y'all get that after a while. I remember going and listening and watching, and we would go early. As a young boy, I would carry chairs, Pastor Allen, and set them out, help to set chairs in the aisles, because we were expecting a crowd. We would open the windows. Most churches now don't have windows that will open, but ours opened, and they would open up the windows. And in the summertime, we'd have revival meeting, sometimes 2 weeks at a time. And I remember people coming in, and the church would be so crowded that the people would stand on the outside. Brother Tony, I've seen people run from the parking lot and run through the doors and bolt down and get up under the communion table and get gloriously born again. I want to tell you, I've seen revival meetings, and I can tell you the power of God fail, and that's what's needed in the church house in the hour in which we live, and it'll only come by prayer. Can I say it tonight? There ain't no business like God's business, and if we're going to get in God's business, we got to learn that prayer is the first thing that we need to do. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 and verse number 14, I realize, deals contextually with the nation of Israel. But it says this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to say this tonight, if the church has given up on our homes and our families, if the church has given up, if we as God's people have given up all hope, I want to tell you, glory to God, I still believe God. I believe that He answers prayers. I believe that He's still holy. I believe that He's still a miracle working God. I believe He can send real revival. But the first ingredient for having revival is that we got to get in His business, and we've got to do what He wants us to do, and that is to pray and to get on our knees and humble ourselves and beg God for real revival. I'm going to be honest with you. We're going to have to send somebody up here with some furniture polish after I get done. I've spit all, I'm sorry, when I get to preaching, if you're in the first three pews, you're in the spit zone. If I come down and if I spit on you, just count it showers of blessings. Amen. But I'm thankful tonight that I serve a God who loves us, who cares for us. I want to tell you, I believe God wants to send revival much more than we want to see revival. I long to see revival, and I want to tell you, if there's any person that's ever seen real revival, boy, I want to tell you, we need to understand that the young people have not experienced revival in the manner that I'm talking about. When the Holy Ghost of God falls, and that's what's needed in the hour in which we live, we need a dose. Hey, I want to get under the spout where the glory comes out. I want to see God do miraculous things. I want to see God, the power of God, fall on the churches of America once again. I would love to see a great awakening revival. I would love to see another Sandy Creek Baptist Church revival that would break out. And why not in Taylorsville, North Carolina? Why not in 2024? Why not now? I want to tell you, God has not changed. And so it tells me that real revival is possible tonight. I believe that this evening with all my heart. I'm trying to hurry tonight, and I'm looking at the word of God in Luke chapter number 10 and verse number 2. The Bible says, therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. And then he says this, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I began to think about the shortage of preachers. And there's a shortage of preachers. Can you believe that? There's a shortage of preachers in Wilkes County, North Carolina. I don't know how it is in Taylorsville, but there's a shortage of men of God. Can I tell you, glory to God, when we pray, we need to pray, God, would you raise up some men of God with a backbone like a saw log? God, would you raise up some old time leather lung rip roaring preachers filled and anointed with the Holy Spirit of God and not afraid to lift up their voice like a trumpet and preach the word of God? I'm telling you tonight, that's what's needed in America, and it'll change the course of our nation. It is the preaching of the word of God unapologetically. Amen. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the Bible. I love the old Bible, don't you? Thank God for the word of God that has stood the test of time. And boy, I want to tell you, I'm not going to change it, because things that are different are not the same. I'm glad for the old Bible, and I love the Lord tonight. If we're going to do his business, ain't no business like the Lord's business. We got to learn that we got to pray. Secondly, I want to tell you, as I'm talking about the Bible, let me just go ahead and just tell you what I think about the Bible. Don't worry about it. It's just an old piece of paper. Amen. It just kind of keeps me on track. Amen. And I can do with it or I can do without it. It don't make a bit of difference. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, for the word of God. I'm glad, thank God, that we have a copy of God's precious word. I want to tell you, how many of you got 4 or 5 copies in your house? I want to tell you, it hadn't been many years ago, many hundred years ago, when they didn't have the word of God. They didn't have easy access to it. People didn't know how to read. But now we have the word of God. It's available in books, it's available on the phone, it's available on the iPad, the computer. We should shout the victory because we've got the word of God. Right. Yeah. I began to think about the word of God. Where would we be, preacher, without the word of God? Psalms 119, 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalms 138, verse number 2, it says, I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for the loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. Can I tell you, God's name is holy. God's name is perfect. God's name is pure. And God has took his word and he has magnified his word above his name. That's what God thinks of his word. You say, preacher, what do you mean? I want to tell you tonight, God has given us his word. He's given us his eternal promises, and we can rejoice in knowing tonight that God keeps his word. As I'm thinking tonight about the precepts of the word of God, and I read in 2 Timothy and chapter number 3 and verse number 16, Paul was fixing to go and to be beheaded, and this is his last, as far as I understand. penned his last letter that he wrote. And he wrote these words about the Word of God. And he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I will tell you, where would we be without God's Word? Where would we be without praying? Amen. We need the Word of God. I have a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God. I study the Word in the morning. I study it in the afternoon. I like to read it in the evening time. Don't you? Because it's food for my soul. Can I tell you tonight, I believe the churches in America are spiritually starved to death because people don't read the Word of God. If we're going to do God's business, and there ain't no business like the Lord's business, first of all, we got to pray. Secondly, we need the precepts of the Lord. And then thirdly, this evening, I want to tell you tonight, I believe, Brother Dennis, that I believe with all my heart that we need the power of the Holy Ghost of God. I will say this evening, I can do nothing without Him, but with Him I can do all things, and so can you. As I'm reading the Bible in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 30, the Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And then he goes on to say, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. And be not drunk, in verse number 18 of chapter 5 of Ephesians, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I will say this, the Spirit of God can be grieved. And I wonder tonight, as I think about revival and what we're doing with the Spirit of God, we need His touch. We need His help tonight. I cannot do it alone. I don't have the formula for revival. Your pastor does not have the formula for revival. But each one of us as an individual needs to examine our lives and our hearts and say, God, fill me with Your Spirit. What we need more than education is a fullness of the Spirit of God. I'm not against education. I believe in it, and I think it's essential, and I think it's an absolute thing that'll help you, especially as a man of God, to have a little bit of Bible education. There's nothing wrong with that, but I want to tell you, I wouldn't trade being filled with the Spirit of God for every degree there is. Amen. You can have more degrees than a thermometer and be dried up and dead and not filled with the touch of God. I will tell you tonight, we need some preachers who ain't afraid to stand up and say, glory to God, I'm glad I'm saved, and I thank God for the Holy Ghost that lives within me. You say, preacher, are you one of them Baptists? You better believe I am. Amen. I like to be tanked up and filled up with the power and the Spirit of Almighty God. I like it when I have liberty to preach the Word. And boy, I got liberty right now, and y'all in a heap of trouble. I want to tell you, hallelujah. I'm glad, thank God, for the Word of God. I'm glad tonight for the power of God. I'm glad tonight for the Holy Ghost who is here this evening, and He is with us tonight. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another or two, and I'll be done in just a moment. Somebody say amen. Now, we've got a young boy that sits on the front row, and I don't know. His name is Wyatt, and Wyatt is a special needs child. And boy, I'll say something like that. And Brother Tony, could you mimic Wyatt?
Yeah.
Thank you. I'll make that comment. I'm almost through, and Wyatt will go. So right there's Wyatt tonight. When I need him, I'm just going to point. Amen. I'll tell you, glory to God, I love Wyatt. I'll tell you, he's a character. He loves the girls. Now, I want to tell you, we got to hold on to him. His daddy will have to grab him by the belt and hold him back. But if he gets loose, he's going for the girls to get him a hug. Amen. He's 18 years old. But what a blessing. He is a gift to our church. Because when I need him, when I need somebody to go, yeah, or somebody to go, whoo, wide is the one that'll do it. It'll be quiet as a mouse, and you'll be preaching along, and it seems like God uses him just at the right time to give a good, thank you, hallelujah. I will tell you, glory to God, that's what we need in our churches. We need to get right with God and loose with God and start worshiping him again. The power of the Holy Spirit will help us when we pray and when we read the word of God. Can I challenge you tonight? Don't you go home tonight and lay your head on a pillow without praying for this meeting. Don't you go home tonight and not open up your Bible and say, God, would you speak to me and give me something? And God, would you fill me with the Holy Ghost? God, would you fill my pastor with the Holy Ghost? God, would you fill the singers with the Holy Ghost? God, would you fill the church with the Holy Ghost? You say, preacher, I'm afraid that they'll think we're weird. They already think you're weird. Amen. On a Sunday night, you've gathered in this place to hear an old leather loudmouth Baptist preacher. It's going to get out on you. They think you're weird anyway. But praise God, there is no one here but you and I and the Holy Spirit of God. Let's praise him. Let's worship him while we have time. I look at that and I think about the precepts and praying, and I think, hey, there ain't no business like the Lord's business. We're not going to do much of his business unless we learn to talk to him. We're not going to do much of his business unless we learn of him. You see, when we pray, we talk to him. When we read, he talks to us. And boy, we need the Holy Ghost power of God. I want to say something else. I think that if we're going to do God's business, and they ain't no business like the Lord's business, we need not only to pray and the precepts and the power of God, but we need to proclaim the gospel. Boy, the gospel's what'll get it done. Listen tonight, that's what's needed in the hour in which we live. Old Brother Craig's back there. He's doing very well for an old man, a man his age. He took me to prison with him. He got out of prison 2 weeks ago. When was it you got out of prison, Craig? He just got out last week. He's a Rock of Ages prison ministry preacher. Boy, I tell you what, he took me into the prison in South Carolina. And he said, preacher, we're going cell to cell today. I tell you what, hallelujah. I mean, you're talking about going cell to cell, and you have to get down like this right here. And boy, you get somebody sitting there weeping and crying and wanting to talk to you about the Lord. Well, you have to stay down there. I got down there and I stayed a long time, witnessed this fella, warned him to the Lord. And then I couldn't get up. And Brother Craig come along, I'd probably still be in that prison right there at that cell, bent down like this, if it hadn't been for Brother Craig coming by and lifting me up and bringing me out of that place. But I want to tell you what a glory it is to go into the prisons and give the gospel. What a glory it is to go and give the homeless bags. What a glory it is to walk outside these doors and realize that there's people right here in our community that need Jesus. Amen. I'll tell you, glory to God, I don't know where we're going after service. My wife don't like the McDonald's. Every place I want to go to, she says, I mean, she wants something that's healthy. Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, hey, hallelujah. That's good and well. Amen. Sometimes you just have to eat out of necessity. But I brought me a handful of tracts. I hope and pray that I can give one or two out. And it's got Bethel Baptist Church on it. I'm sorry, but it does. But you know what? On the back of that tract, it's got the gospel. And boy, that's the greatest news. It's much better than the church that's on the front. But right here is the news, the greatest news that anybody ever hear. It's how to be saved by the grace of God. It'll make a difference for all eternity. It'll change destiny. It'll change a home. It'll take a drunkard and change him. You say, how do you know? Because I could give you a testimony of a young boy that was raised up in a drunkard's home. And this man was not an alcoholic. He was a drunkard. And he would stay gone on the weekend. And boy, the family wouldn't see him till Monday evening. When he got sobered enough, he went to work on Monday. And he kept his job, but he stayed drunk from Friday evening all the way through Monday morning. And we would see him. He would come home, and it was my dad. And I remember, hey man, a preacher went to work at the place of his employment. And my daddy knew of this man. And the man had a good reputation. And guess what? We had a vacancy at the pulpit at the church that I belong to that my mother drugged me to every Sunday. Any of y'all get drugged to church? I had a drug habit from a young age. I was drugged every service. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revivals, any kind of meet. My mama, she'd shout at the drop of a hat, and sometimes she'd drop her own hat. I'm telling you, glory to God, I had an old-fashioned mama that loved God. I had a drunkard for a daddy, lost and undone, and she married him, and she said, I'll change him, and she couldn't do with nothing with him. But I want to tell you, she prayed for him. And we prayed and we prayed. I was 10 years old. And my mom and daddy had been married nearly 20 years. And Feldman Cheek come to Pleasant Grove Baptist Church's pastor. And I remember my drunkard daddy saying, if that man takes the church, I'm going to come and hear him preach. And I went to church for the first time in my life. And I got to sit on the back row for the very first time in my life. Nothing against you back row folks. It's okay tonight. But my drunkard daddy, he slipped in the back row. I thought to myself, it's a good opportunity for me to get on that back row, which I've always wanted to. And I slid in with my daddy. And boy, that pastor got up. And he preached hell hot, heaven sweet. And he gave an invitation. And I remember the day my father stood up. And he made a step out. And I thought, he's going to go smoke. I'm going with him. In them days, that's what they did. They'd get out there in front of the church. It was just like a barbecue. Yeah, man. I thought, he's going to smoke. I'll go with him. And boy, my daddy got up. And instead of going that way, he come this way. I'll never forget it as long as I live. Ha ha. My daddy had liquor hid. My mama knew. If she could find it, she'd pour it out. And my daddy was smarter than that. Didn't take one or two times of him getting his liquor poured out. He started hiding it. And I want to tell you, he hid it in some unusual places. I remember the, I remember the day that my daddy got saved. He come home from church and he went here and he went there and he went to all them hiding places and he got all that liquor and he brought it in and he stood at the kitchen sink and he poured it down the sink. I want to tell you, glory to God, the 12 steps that he used to get delivered from alcohol was more like 30 steps from the back pew to the front of the church. And he got born again and he got delivered. I want to tell you, things changed at my house. I got a brand new daddy. Can I get a witness? Is there a God in heaven that can change lives like that today? You better believe it. I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I know a God that can save to the uttermost. Everybody all right? I tell you, this kind of preaching scares me to death. If I was where you are, I'd be terrified. But I don't worry. If I get loose, I won't hurt nobody. I promise. And if I do, my wife will let me know about it. I've been bad to grab people and jerk them up. Can I tell this? His name's Jerry. He's a big preacher. I mean a big preacher. He's sitting on the front row. And I needed him to stand up. And I got a hold of his hand. And he wasn't a budget. And I wanted him to stand up. And I was under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And I pulled him. I jerked him plumb out on the floor flat on his face. Now you're talking about some people opening their eyes. Amen. I'll tell you, you can do things in the Holy Ghost that you don't normally do. Amen. So I'm not pulling nobody tonight. I'm trying not to spit on nobody. But I want to tell you, glory to God, I thank God for preaching. I thank God for the Word of God. I'm glad that we are in the Lord's business. And boy, he wants us to be involved. He wants us to pray. He wants us to read our Bible. He wants us to be filled with the Spirit of God. And he also wants us to proclaim the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I say it this way? Paul said it. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Do you remember the day the Lord saved you? Woo. I remember the day. Have you always lived right? Oh, you better believe it. I am so holy. I'm so holy. I got holes in my socks. That's how holy I am. I'm telling you, I failed God many times. There was a period of my life that I was backslid, Brother Allen. And I'm ashamed of it. You know what? Have you ever failed God? Maybe you're here tonight and you feel like that you're not where you need to be with God. And you got things in your life and you wonder, Lord, could you straighten that out? Boy, he can do that. I won't tell you, I'm living proof of it. And listen, you may be like I was. My wife pestered me. My son was 3 years old. And I was out of the will of God. And out of church. And I worked for a grocery store in downtown North Wilkesboro. And I was in management. And Sunday I'd have off. And she said, don't you want to go to church this Sunday? I'd say, leave me alone. You sound like my mama. Mm-hmm. I didn't marry my mama. Mm-hmm. Quit pestering me. And she just kept on. And brother, she kept on. I said, all right, I'll go. And they got a new preacher at that church that Sunday. And his name was Bill Nicholson. And Brother Bill, I can't not see, he lived in, yeah. Oh, yeah, maybe somebody kin to him here tonight. Brother Bill, y'all, hey, some of y'all old enough to remember Gunsmoke. You know Gunsmoke, don't you? Do you know who Marshal Matt Dillon is? He don't have a clue. Lord have mercy. Seth, do you know who Marshal Matt Dillon is? That's what Bill Nicholson looked like, except he had a suit on. He looked like Matt Dillon. And I went into that church, and I'm telling you, choir got up and they sang every note and hit it just right. And man, I said, I can get along with that. Ain't no shouting, ain't no amen. And that preacher gets up and he opens up his Bible and I'm looking up at him. He's a great old big tall fella. And he opened up the Bible and he began to preach. And you know what? I thought to myself, my mother-in-law or my wife's grandmother had wrote him a letter and told him everything that I had been doing. That rascal preached, and it was just like I was the only one in the house. He preached me up one side and down the other. I thought to myself, if I can get out of here alive, I ain't never coming back. And we get in the car that day, and my wife said, how'd you like it? I said, I love the singing. Oh, it was just spot on. The notes was just right. But I said, but that preacher, I said, I'll just tell you what's the truth. He looked like Matt Dillon or not. I ain't going to hear him again. I don't like him. And I ain't going to listen to that. And boy, for a couple of weeks, I wouldn't go back. And then I had another Sunday off. I wish I'd have volunteered. I was thinking back then, I probably wish I'd have volunteered to work every Sunday because I knew what she was going to do. Here she started again. She started that, won't you go to church with me? Won't you go to church with me? Please, we need to go to church. And I said, I'm going to try it one more time. Mm-hmm. But I'm telling you, I'm going to talk to your mama and your wife and your grandmother because I know that they have wrote a letter. And I go in there and I sit down. Choir sings again. Boy, it's just wonderful. I'm thinking, this is all right. And that preacher gets up and he opened up that Bible. And you know what he did? He didn't get done with that letter the first time. He preached every dot, every comma, every explanation point. I will tell you, glory to God, he examined me from one side to the other and he proved to me that I was out of the will of God. And I want to tell you, I thought to myself, if I can get out of here, I'm going. And I got up and I was so under conviction because I know where I was with God. I was saved, but I was out of his will. And boy, I won't tell you what happened that day. I'll tell you, instead of going out that way, I run this way. And boy, it ain't been the same since. I want to tell you, glory to God, I'm 37 years old. When I got called to preach, God could have used me a long time before that if he had minded to and I had lived for him. But yet, God still used me. Amazing to me that God would use a no account backslider like me. Some of you tonight have failed in your walk with God. You're not perfect. You may have messed up. I don't care what you've done. I want to tell you about a God that loves you tonight, cares for you, concerned about where you are, and wants to help you this evening. This ain't in the outline.
You're doing good, bro.
But I'm glad he's that kind of God. He'll use a man of God. And listen, as far as I know, my wife's grandmother, I let her off the hook. My mother-in-law, I'm about to let her off the hook. Some 30 years later, I don't think it was either one of them. I think it was a little messenger from heaven.
Sure.
He was called the Holy Spirit of God. I will tell you tonight, I'm glad, thank God. One good thing about coming someplace that you don't, well, I thought it started to say I didn't know anybody, but I know some of these singers that come in tonight. I know Jo Lynn and her husband, and I thank God for them. But as far as I know, and I know some of these Bethelites, that's what I call them, Bethelites that are here tonight. But you know what? As far as this church, and Brother Pastor, you've not told me a thing. I don't know your heart, but God does. And whatever you got going on, if you want to have revival, can I say it again? The Lord's, hey, what kind of business? Business are we in? We're in the Lord's business. And they ain't nothing like the Lord's business. They ain't nothing like being right in fellowship with Him. Ain't nothing like walking with Jesus. Isn't that good? Can two walk together except they be agreed? Let me just illustrate that this way. You know what? Jesus, He walked straight. I appreciate your pastor. Boy, I want to tell you. But you know what? He walked straight. But you know what happens in life? I'm walking with Jesus. I'm holding His hand. And I look over here. And before you know it, I'm going this way. And I'm pulling. And Jesus just keeps walking straight. And boy, I want to tell you. I'm telling you that Jesus just keeps walking. And sometimes we can get out of the will of God. Yeah. But if we're going to walk with Jesus, we got to go His way. Because He's God. And He chooses the path that we walk. I'm glad. Thank God He's that way tonight. I'm glad it's not up to me. I'm glad that it's not me making the decision how to walk. I'm going to walk with Him. And I tell you, He wants us to walk with Him tonight. I got to hurry. I got to quit. I told my wife to raise a little flag. Brother Craig, where you at? Did you forget to raise the flag? Okay, all right. He's getting old. Amen. We need to proclaim the gospel. Can I tell you, hey, can I ask you a question? Is everybody in Alexander County saved? If they are, would you please come to Wilkes? Because there's a bunch of people there that need the Lord. Oh, listen tonight. Let me give you another one. Not only by the power of the Holy Ghost, by the proclamation of the gospel, but by our profession. Ain't no business like the Lord's business. I'm glad I'm saved, Brother Dennis. I know that I am His child and He's my Father. I know. Can you reflect? Can I get a witness tonight? Anybody? Hey, can anybody raise their hand and say, yes, I remember the day that the Lord saved me from my sins, washed me from all my unrighteousness, imputed His righteousness into my life, wrote my name down in the book of life. Oh, hell. Oh, my soul. I get happy when I think about that, what He done for me, because He did it all. He shed His blood. He gave His life. He paid my sin debt. And He died for me on Calvary that I can live with Him forever. I thought about that, my profession. And you know what? Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I could preach on right there, but I'm not going to. Ain't no business like the Lord's business, is it? Let me give you the last one. You say, last one. Yeah, last one. And it's simply, lastly, there ain't no business like the Lord's business. And as a result of that, we should praise Him. How long has it been since you praised Him? How long has it been since you said, Lord, I just want to thank You? I got a 10-year-old granddaughter and a 7-year-old grandson, and they're both spoiled. My wife has done a great job of running them. Well, I'm in the church house, so I'm going to admit it. When my granddaughter
started preschool. She was in a school, and I got a video of this, of her quoting Psalms 100. Can I read it the way my 3-year-old granddaughter recited it? She said, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." And then little Karis, 3 years old, she said, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know ye that he is God." That's exactly the way she said it. "And it is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture." Boy, I want to tell you, you get a hold of that and it will make you want to shout. It'll make you want to say glory. It'll make you want to say hallelujah. I'm glad I'm saved because it is he that has made us and not we ourselves. Amen. And then she said this, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise." And that I can hear her on that video saying this. And she is 10 years old now, and she would probably skin me alive knowing that I was talking about her tonight. But she said, "Be thankful unto him and bless his name." That little voice went really high. "For the Lord is good." Can I get an amen? Amen? "For the Lord is good." Can I ask you, could you consider just how good God is? How good's he been to you? Huh? He saved you. And he's kept you. And he's brought you into his sheepfold. And he's nurtured you. And he's fed you. And he's clothed you. And he's given you everything that you could ever need in this walk of life. I will tell you, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. If we're going to do the Lord's business, I think we need to give him praise in his house. If I was in the black church, like I have preached many times, there'd be somebody on the organ. And they would go, "No, no, no, no. When I get to that part, what does that do? It makes me preach. It's like saying sick 'em boy to a bulldog." I tell you, glory to God, we need to praise the Lord. We need to give him the glory because he is good. He is God. He deserves it. You say, "Well, you don't know my circumstance." I know, and you don't know mine either. 2 years ago, I had prostate cancer, and it was bad, and they removed it. I thank God for a brand new CD that somebody had just published, and we played that CD on the way to the hospital, and the Holy Ghost got in the car, and he said, "It's going to be all right." And they took that old rotten thing out, and I tell you, glory to God, I go back to have tests, and they say everything is good, and I say, "Praise be to the God in heaven. I got something to thank him for. I don't want the rocks to cry out my praise. I want to give you the glory, God. I don't care who likes it and who don't. I'm going to praise your name." Yeah, hadn't he been good to you? Could I tell you about a man that was in total kidney failure? I mean, his skin was yellow. You say there ain't no hope for people like that. Well, there's hope for the hopeless. Because he's seated in this church tonight and he ain't yellow no more. Ain't God been good? I mean to tell you, ain't he been good? Don't he deserve our praise? For the Lord is good. And I like this part. My little granddaughter said, "And his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And I tell you tonight, you can go in my mama's family, and I can go back about 5 preachers way back in time. And I want to tell you, I never dreamed Why in the world God chose me out of that crowd of preachers? I'm the least unlikely, but I'm glad, thank God, I can look back. And the truth that my great, great, great granddaddy preached is still enduring. It's still enduring. The same book is still enduring. The same gospel is still enduring all generations. I will tell you, we need to stand up and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He is worthy of all praise. The Lord's business ain't no business like the Lord's business. We need to praise Him. My question tonight is, can you praise Him? Don't you want to praise Him? And the question is, will you praise Him? If you're here tonight and you don't know Him, oh, preacher, I would hope that somebody would see the need of salvation. Can I just say it to you like this? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. You say, how do you know? Because He sent His only begotten Son. Died for your sins. Gave Himself for you in your place. I love Him tonight. Thank Him for salvation. But also thank Him because He's God. The Lord's business ain't no business like the Lord's business. I want it. Ain't no business like the Lord's business. Y'all remember back a few years ago, Sweet Brown? Come on now, don't look up here so carnal. She had a saying. She said, ain't nobody got time for that. You remember that? Come on now, get carnal for just a second. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, there's a couple of honest people in here tonight. Just wink at me if you can't raise your hand and I'll know that you know. And she said, ain't nobody got time for that. But you know what? If they can video outside an apartment house and it go wildly publicized, can I say it this way? Why can't the phrase, ain't no business like the Lord's business, be publicized? I'll tell you why. The world doesn't want to hear it. The world would rather hear, ain't nobody got time for that. But I'm glad tonight, for whosoever will, who will listen tonight, the Lord's business. Let me say this, it requires haste. We need to be busy because we don't have the promise of another day.